The church directory, if you don't have one and you need one, they're out there on the front. Just give us Scott and he'll get you one. It's usually just one per family. A lot of you got them already, but I can't remember who's got them and who hasn't. So even if you haven't got your picture in there, it's something that you can have. Wow, it's good to see your faces today. Now we have a baptism toward the end, so that's a great thing. And God is doing what he said he was going to do. And we're heading in that direction of them 21 baptisms. It's good to see it. It's an exciting thing for us. And tomorrow, about 10:30, there'll be a mission team rolling in from Indianapolis, which we've never had one from Indianapolis. So they'll be rolling in for a week, and they'll be leaving on Saturday morning. And then Sunday night rolls in a team from Mississippi. So we'll have them for a week. So it's not as busy as it was in the last few years when we get like seven teams coming rolling in one after another. But we're about half that size this year. And it's good to see your faces here today. It's good always to be in the house of the Lord. In my opinion, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Jonah here. I'm going to skim through some things with Jonah, but there's some things I want to share with you that we need to look at with this character of Jonah and what he was called to do. You can cut these chapters in half. There's so many messages in this, but I'm going to miss a lot, but I want to key in on a few things today. I want to remind you that God cares for the sinner. God cares for the saint. But God also cares for your enemies. That's where we struggle. That is where we struggle. And we're going to find out some things. Bible says that God called Jonah to go preach to Nineveh, but he chose to do something else. He decided to run from God. He decided to run from the Lord's presence. And so that's what he did. He ran from the Lord's presence. And he just didn't want to listen. And God, he ran up on a ship and he ended up being tall. He jumped overboard. And the Bible tells us that the Lord provided this great fish and swallowed him up. And he was in there for a few days, 3 days and three nights. And basically what happened in there was that he finally got a wake-up call. You see, sometimes that's where we all need. That's sometimes what we have. We find ourselves in a mess at times. Let me read scripture here for you. This is what happens in chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "The waters engulfed me up into the neck, and the watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head." This had to have been a nightmare, first of all, being in the stomach of a fish, and now I got seaweed wrapped around me. This is a nightmare. But he says, "As my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord." And he says, "My prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forsake faithful love. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation is from the Lord." Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. What we see here is the part here that God has a vision. God has a mission for Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh. He knows the Nineveh people need to hear something. Here is the thing that we don't see. The people of Nineveh were actually Jonah and his people, the Israelites. That was their enemy. The people of Nineveh would always be attacking. They were not the people that the Israelites wanted to be around. And Jonah didn't want to be a part of that. So he decided to take off. Well, I want to share with you some points today. I'm going to break it into some pieces today because I only have so much time. But I want to break this in. Into some pieces today. I want to tell you this. If God calls you to do something, you better do it. If God calls a church to do something, she better do it. Better do it. Obedience is key. Because you got to know this. God is a loving God. Amen? We know that. God is a forgiving God. But also God has plans. And there are consequences when we choose to go against God. There's consequences when we choose to say to God, "No, not today. No, not right now. No, I'll do it later." Everything that God has planned is important. So if you run from the Lord's presence, you're running into danger. So there's a safety around the Lord, but when you run away from Him, you're running into danger. And let me tell you, I don't know how tough some of us think we are, but let me tell you, in the presence of the Lord, we're nothing. We're nothing. Another part of this piece here in the first couple of chapters is this. Sometimes God will provide the place of pain for you because we're hard-headed. Your life, once you give it to Christ, is not your own now. It belongs to Christ. Get your hands off of it. Live it for the Lord. God will bless you through that. But you need to get your hands off the steering wheel because you're not doing a very good job when you do it. That's why we came to Christ. Amen? We found out we weren't doing good. So we need to do that. So we need to make sure that we're not rebelling against God. Because when we do, sometimes we're going to get hurt. And it's a righteous hurt. And some of us still might need to be broken. We think we're up here. And God says, we'll see how hard you are. We find out that Jonah wasn't hot. He was down there in the bottom of this great water. And he had to be broken. And sometimes some of us have to be broken. We have to be broken into obedience. I hate to say it. We just have to be broken into obedience. We have to be broken. Now, all along this, I want to remind you that God still had a plan to go to Nineveh, to send Jonah into Nineveh. You see, I think here in Huntington, God has sent some churches to come in and do ministry in Huntington. But many has chosen to do ministry with specific people in Huntington. If that's what God's called them to do, that's great. But we can't run from those that don't look like us. Those who may not act like us. These are the people in Nineveh. This is a messy bunch of people. Their sin, their junk all came up to the Lord. And the Lord saw it all. The Lord says, I want you to go in there and I want you to preach. Jonah said, I don't think so. And now Jonah has a change of heart. And he prays him. And we go in here. But then the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And it says, in the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message I tell you to do. So Jonah got up and he went to Nineveh and according to the Lord's command. Here's what it is. I want to tell you this. God gives people second chances. God gives people second chances, even preachers. How many times will we pick a preacher and we'll throw him under the bush, we'll throw him out in the alley because he did something stupid? I'm not advocating for doing anything stupid, but I want to tell you, we are very quick to judge a preacher and kick him out and be done with him. You don't have to agree with what they did. Hopefully you didn't. You don't have to agree, but I want to remind you, you are not that servant's master. He serves the Lord. The Lord is very good with his own discipline. The Lord knows how to forgive people. I understand. Pastors mess up. People get up and they walk out of the church. I've seen it with Jimmy Swagger. Back in the day, growing up, I saw it. What I saw and what I see today through it is a broken church. A broken man did some stupid stuff, sinful before the Lord, went away for a long time, worked it out, did his thing. Now he's got some great ministry. Whether you like him or not, he's got a great big ministry in Louisiana. We got to be careful not to throw people under the bus. You need to look in the mirror first. You need to look in the mirror first. But God is a God of second chances. Sometimes you need a second chance. But sometimes you mess up again and you say, Lord, I need another chance. And you mess up again and you say, I need another one. You know what you are? You're just a normal Christian. You're like, we're all the same. We mess up before God. We don't always do what God wants us to do. We actually choose sin sometimes, which we shouldn't. But God puts his hand on us and he disciplines like he did Jonah because God loves you. That's why you get it. That's why you get the discipline. That's why the hammer comes down. And let me tell you, it is a righteous one. But thank God for second chances. Thank God for third and fourth chances. But now he's going to go into Nineveh and he's going to preach the message. He says, now Nineveh was an extremely large city. It was a 3-day walk. He says, in 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. That's what he was preaching. God's going to destroy Nineveh. Well, here is the crazy part of this story. Seldom when you find in the Old Testament that people actually listen to God. A group of people. These people actually listened to God. But how could they listen to God? They didn't even follow God. They weren't even God's people. That's the problem Jonah was having. This is the problem that many of us churches have today. And the king declared a fast, and everybody was like, oh, we got to stop this. We got to stop how we're living. We got to turn and change our ways. And they do exactly what they said they were going to do. They did, you know, even the Christians, a lot of Christians say, I'm going to start doing this, I'm going to start doing that, I'm going to do that, and they don't do it. But Scripture tells us here that it says in verse 10, chapter 3, then God saw their actions. God saw their actions and that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster he had threatened to do to them, and he did not do it. So God did not do this great punishment and disaster that he was going to do. The preaching worked. The preaching worked. The people listened. And they didn't just listen, they actually changed. Jonah went and preached. Didn't mean he did it with his whole heart and loving intentions, but he did do what God called him to do. I don't think he quite did it with love, but he did deliver the message. How do I know that? Well, let's look at it. Chapter 4 is where I want to really camp today. Verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He didn't like it. He didn't like that people were going to be, he didn't like that people were changing, that God relented the disaster. You got to remember, this is the enemy of the Israelites. He's in enemy territory sharing, oh, God's going to destroy, but God just chose not to destroy. We're going to find something out about God really good here in this story. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. And then he prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? So he's saying, Lord, isn't this what we talked about before I even left? It's almost like he knew that they were going to change. He's a prophet. He's a preacher. He said, that's why I fled from Tarshish in the first place. That's why I left. I don't want no part of it. How can you turn around and save and help the people that are against us and fight us all the time? And then he says something about the character of God. He says, I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God. Slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. That's the character of God. That's part of the character of God. It is. God is merciful. He's compassionate. He's slow about anger, but he's rich in love. And he relents from sending disaster. And he didn't like it. And then he says, and now, Lord, please take my life from me. It is better for me to die than to live. It doesn't even matter. This is the attitude when it all looks about you. This is the attitude when it's all about you and your people. You see, let me just tell you about the gospel. The gospel is to reach everyone. Every color, every ethnicity, every culture, every person. To have an opportunity to hear the gospel. This is why we send out missionaries across the world. I wonder here in Huntington, even in our small little town in Huntington, how many men have been sent to Huntington to preach the gospel with love and compassion, to help those who need help and those who can't help themselves and all and everything that they need to? How does that look in our society? How does it look in our small community today? Because we know that crime is on the rise. Violent crime is on the rise. Does that keep us from preaching and teaching the gospel? No. Should that stop us from sharing the gospel? You see, each one of you are like a Jonah here in this community. You're supposed to be sharing the gospel, sharing how God changed your life. And then he says, he had this little moment here with this plant, and this plant died. But I want to get you down to this number 10. So the Lord said, you cared about this plant, which you did not labor over. It did not grow. It's kind of gave him, he came up there and sat on the hill and wanted to see God destroy it. It didn't happen. And God allowed this plant to give him some shade out there on that heat. And then it shriveled up and died the next day. And the Lord says, he wants to teach him something. He says, you did not labor and did not make it grow. It appeared at night and it perished in a night. Should I not care? So God says, should I not care about the great city Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people, who cannot distinguish between the right and the left, as many animals, and all this, and all the people? He says, should I not care about those 120,000? Do you think that God cares about the 17,000, 18,000 people in the city of Huntington? Do you think he cares about every home and every person in Huntington? Why are the churches not filled? We want to blame everything on COVID. Could it be that the believers are not sharing the gospel? Could it be that we're kind of all, there's many of us that are living in fear and we're putting our head in the shell like a turtle and we're hiding because we're afraid of what the world is doing? We're afraid. God says, I care about these 120,000 people, and they don't even know their right hand from their left hand. Let me tell you, those who don't know Christ, they don't know anything about eternal things. We talked about that. They know nothing spiritual. They're blinded. They don't know anything spiritual. Corinthians tells us that the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who don't believe that. When they hear the gospel, the God of this age, which is darkness and Satan, they blind the eyes of them so they don't hear it or see it. And there's 120,000 people in Nineveh, and they catch it. Wow, that is great. But even if the city catches it, if the Christian doesn't catch it, missing the mark. Because it isn't that God just cares about you now because you've been saved. I want to remind you that when you come to Christ, God cared about you when you didn't know him. And he cares about people that you might not like. He cares about people, those politicians that you don't like. You need to just start praying for them. And pray that God would give you understanding and love, because people say some pretty vicious stuff and ugly stuff out there. Let me just tell you spiritual things. But God is saying there's 120,000 people out there. And I want to tell you, people is God's business. People is God's business, and he loves people. This church should be packed every Sunday, not because of me, but because of him. And because of you are sharing the gospel. Our balcony should be packed every Sunday. And the other churches in town should be packed every Sunday, and there still would not be enough churches for everyone. Is everyone going to come to Christ? And we say no. But the Bible says Christ came so that all might be saved. So there's an opportunity. Watched a little video, I know Facebook, something about some girl was on one of those singing competitions, and she was had this rare cancer thing. I don't know, it's supposed to die or whatever, and she's living. She's got all this energy, and they said, I got 2%. I got a chance. I got 2% to make it through. I got a chance. Well, let me tell you, when we're sharing the gospel out there, there's a chance for them to come to Christ. But if you don't share the gospel, there's no chance for them to come to Christ. We have to get out there and be the Jonah and quit running away from what God has called us to do. This is a hospital. This is a spiritual hospital. In fact, God is still investing in this minute and into this church. We're going to be opening a men's shelter, transitional housing, right next door to the church. Guess what? That's another ward. The Lord is opening up another ward into the hospital. That's the way I see it. He opened up another ward. He keeps opening up wards to the hospital. Some of you need to get up and start becoming spiritual doctors and spiritual nurses. I don't care about your education. You need to learn to love Jesus. You need to learn how to share Jesus and follow Jesus. I want to be on Him. I want to work with Him. I want to be about what He is doing. There's an opportunity here that just went right by Jonah, changing a city. You know, you change a city like this, he wasn't thinking, but an enemy can now become a friend. And then become an ally. But no, he's thinking of it in that fleshly terms. I hope that when we stir the baptism waters, that there's somebody that you're trying to share the gospel with. But I also want to remind you that everyone that goes through the baptism waters, you should be praising God for. Let me challenge you with this. Some of you that, I know my church, I love you all. Some of you that have been arrested, went through time, faced a prosecutor. If the prosecutor came to this church, and then I'm just saying a prosecutor and a lawyer came in this church and was baptized, would you be happy? Or would you be like, I don't like that dude. I don't like him. I want him out. I'm not coming here if he's coming here. You see, we'll set up, we'll say we love everybody, but we have these individual people that we don't like, that we don't love. And in Nineveh, God was saying, listen, you're going to go there, Jonah, and you got 120,000 people you don't even like. But you're going to share the gospel with them. No, I'm not. Yeah, you will. Because let me tell you something. God gets His way. God going to get His way. I didn't want to be a preacher. God got His way. Carl didn't want to be a pastor's wife. God got His way. God going to get His way. Because He's God. And let me remind you of something. This is His big ball of mud. This is formed by His hands. And life was given by His breath. And nobody going to tell God how to do His business. Because He's invested more than any of us would ever invest. He invested His Son, Jesus Christ, to come into this filthy mud ball that we turned it into by sin. Because He loves us so much that He did give His only Son, that He'd die in our place that we might have eternal life. That's the gospel. And we wouldn't die in our sins. So we become restored through the name of Christ. Here this city is trying to be restored, and they didn't even know from the left hand to the right hand. To the right hand, to the left hand. When we become a Christian, we need to start learning what is right and what is wrong. Amen? And we do what is right, and we walk away from what is wrong. We don't allow it in the pulpit. We don't allow it in other things. We try to live the best that we can. Let me read something really quick. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their wickedness has confronted me. Remind you, God sees everything. However, Jonah got up to flee Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Listen, you cannot hide from the Lord. Well, you Christians cannot hide from the Lord. The Lord has a mission and a vision to reach the lost and dying world, which we were all a part of. And now we're supposed to share that with other people. What are we doing? We have a great city in front of us. What are we doing? I'll tell you what we're doing. We're doing what God's called us to do. We're doing what God has called us to do, to create these ministries. That is a bloodline flow of this church. And He is blessing where He has called us and called us and what to do. I don't think you understand what's getting ready to happen. October, we will be opening those doors next door. There'll be anywhere from probably 4 to 8 men that'll come in, and they'll bring their families in. And we'll be sharing the gospel with them through classes, through preaching, and those things. So we're working in that sense, in that area. But there's other things that are going on to reach this 18,000 people in this community. But there's still places that we can't get to that only you can. That's where you work. That's where you live your life, your family. I want to remind you today that you need to share the gospel. You need to start sharing the gospel. And in closing, who shared the gospel with you? Who walked with you and led you to Jesus Christ? Take them out of the picture. Where would you be today? Aren't you thankful that somebody shared the gospel with you? That somebody took the time out to share with you? Can remind you, they could have been like Jonah. They did it because God called them to. Doesn't mean they loved you through it much. But I'll remind you, God is bigger than people. God is bigger. We make flaws. We make mistakes. But also I want to remind you, because I've been saved, you've been saved, we need to learn, we need to figure out how to share that with someone else. Because our life, God wants to use. God wants to use our life. I used to be very critical of Huntington a lot. I've been very critical of it. And God has moved my heart in many over the years not to be so critical. Because I've seen all the sexual things that happen in Huntington. I see the witchcraft that roams in Huntington like no other place I've been. I see the things that with children. I see the things that go on in this community. But this is where God's called us. This is where God's called me and Carla to be a light in this community, to be like a Jonah into this community. But not just us, but this whole church. This church stands at the crossroads of brokenness and hurt, pain and sorrow. Those are your streets where we're connected. It may say Guilford, it may say Franklin, but it's on the corners of broken, hurt, pain, and sorrow. And we're right here. We are right here trying to do what God's called us to do with open doors. One side of the counter helping people and the other side getting help. I think that's a blessing, Lord. I think that's a blessing that the Lord has given to us. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. It's an amazing thing. You know, a lot of people say, man, that's the kind of church I want to go to. Invite you to come on over. A lot of them won't do that because they choose something different. It's okay. It's okay. But serve where you are. Serve where you are. God is merciful. Amen. God is gracious. God is slow to anger. God is compassionate. And God relents from disaster. And people change their hearts. Father, I just ask, Lord, in this moment of response, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit has moved upon us in the way that only you can. Lord, I ask that you just move upon us in this time, that our hearts might be drawn to you. For it's in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. That opportunity for you to come up and pray is open now.